This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. And now it's time to check in on the state of science.
This is KERA
for WWNO,
St. Louis Public Radio,
Iowa Public Radio News.
Local science stories of national significance. Southern California, including Los Angeles, is home to a diverse ecosystem, from big predators like mountain lions and coyotes to little lizards and mice. So many creatures call this area home. Unfortunately for them, so does the 101, a busy multi-lane highway that runs up and down the West Coast. How can we make room for everybody? Well, engineers, conservationists, and animal enthusiasts have come together to break ground on a massive project they hope will make life a little easier for the species that live in the area. A giant animal crossing, a grassy path from one side of the freeway to the other. For the animals, of course, not the people. Work starts on this massive project today, and joining me to talk about the animal crossing of SoCal is my guest. Michelle Loxton is podcast host and producer for KCLU Public Radio in Thousand Oaks, California. She reports the story for KCLU's podcast, The 101. Welcome to Science Friday, Michelle.
Thank you, Ira.
Okay, for those of us who aren't based on the West Coast, tell us a little bit about the 101. Where is it? How long does it go?
So the 101 highway is a north-south highway that stretches along almost the entire west coast of the United States. The wildlife crossing will be built over Highway 101 in a city called Agoura Hills, which is just north of Los Angeles. And transportation experts have actually measured how many vehicles pass through this spot in Agoura Hills on the 101 highway. It's 300,000 vehicles every single day.
Wow. Wow. Can you set the scene for what the ecosystem is like around where the crossing will go?
Sure. So if you're standing at the location of the future wildlife crossing, you'll see a lot of rolling hills on either side of the highway. You'll see sage scrub, chaparral, and patches of oak woodlands. To the south of the highway, you have this massive open wild protected space called the Santa Monica Mountains National Recreation Area. It extends all the way to the Pacific Ocean, and it's the biggest urban national park in the country, in fact. And it's amongst this wild space and these neighborhoods on either side of the highway you'll find mountain lions, deer, bobcats, coyotes, badgers, rabbits, mice, wood rats, horn lizards, tree frogs, snakes, ants, and quail, and all sorts of birds.
Amazing. So how does the 101 impact all these creatures that live there?
It has a big impact on them. I'm going to bring in the voice of Beth Pratt now, who I think describes the situation really well. So Pratt is from the National Wildlife Federation. She's led the campaign to get this wildlife crossing built. So the first thing to know about where the wildlife crossing will be built is that this is the last 1,600 feet of protected wild space on both sides of the highway in our region. Pratt describes this location like an hourglass, where you have these big open spaces on either side of the highway that are funneled into the center point of the hourglass. The center point of the hourglass being the highway itself. But unlike with an hourglass where sand would flow from one side to the other, in this case, the animals are the sand, and they've been blocked for decades from moving through the area because of the impenetrable wall that is Highway 101. Here's Beth Pratt.
The wildlife were already sort of coming to this area. And what the National Park Service study has shown, for at least the wildlife they have collared or tracking, like the mountain lions or coyotes, they get here and they're like, I'm not crossing this, and they turn around.
If they do try and cross, they could be hit by cars. But like Pratt said there, a lot of them don't even try and essentially are boxed into the region where they were born. And this has had a disastrous effect on genetic diversity. The National Park Service has been studying carnivores in the region for 20 years, and they found that mountain lions and the Santa Monicas have very low genetic diversity, basically the lowest that anyone's seen, and that's because of inbreeding. Because mountain lions can't disperse because of the highway, male mountain lions are mating with daughters, granddaughters, and even great-granddaughters. For the wildlife experts, the wildlife crossing is a solution to this problem. It would allow the animals to safely cross the highway, firstly, and then it would allow them to mix with other populations in other regions.
You know, we've buried the lead here a bit. There's a celebrity in this story, P-22, a puma who is local Los Angeles legend. Can you tell us about P-22?
Yes. So P-22 really is our lead character in this story. P-22 is a mountain lion that was born in the Santa Monica Mountains over 10 years ago. P is for puma, and 22 is because he was the 22nd puma or mountain lion to get a tracking collar. And when he was really young, he went on this incredible journey. He left the Santa Monica Mountains and managed to cross two of the busiest highways in our region, unhurt and undetected, and ended up in Griffith Park in Hollywood, where there are no other known mountain lions. Because his journey was such a fluke, he hasn't been able to leave Griffith Park and has essentially been stuck there for a decade on his own. But in this time, he's become a bit of a celebrity. Beth Pratt is kind of obsessed with P-22. She has a tattoo of him on her arm and carries around this life-size cardboard cutout of him so people can take pictures with P-22. She's called him the Brad Pitt of the mountain lion world, and the public loved that.
For me, what he did was get the public engaged, which was really important. The Park Service and others had been talking about the need for sort of connectivity for a while, but it wasn't something that resonated with people outside of the environmental or scientific world. But all of a sudden, boom, you get this lonely, dateless, handsome bachelor show up in Griffith Park.
And it worked. People loved that idea of P-22 and got invested in this idea of connecting wild spaces. And they started raising money for a wildlife crossing. Now, unfortunately, this particular wildlife crossing that we're talking about today won't benefit P-22. He's just too cut off at the moment, but it will benefit many other mountain lions.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Let's talk more about the animal crossing. How long has this been in the works?
Well, the National Wildlife Federation started talking about this crossing behind the scenes in 2012. And then with P-22 as the face of the campaign, they went to the public and started raising money 2 years later. It was a pretty steep fundraising hill to climb. The project was priced at $90 million, but they've raised the money through state funds, 40%, and private philanthropy, 60%. The biggest single private donation was $26 million.
Wow, this seems like it would be a major feat of engineering. Okay, can you walk us through what's it going to look like?
Absolutely. So there's so many wonderful details about the crossing itself. In terms of size, the crossing will be about the width of an American football field going over 10 lanes of highway. The people designing it have described it to me like a green roof on steroids or a green toupee. They're taking special care to make sure the crossing matches its environment. So they've taken the very biggest things into account, like how the crossing will fit in with the watershed in the region, all the way down to the microscopic level with the building of soil ecology. Here's Robert Rock, the COO of Living Habitats and the lead architect, talking about all the different details that they've considered.
9 out of 10 people are not going to even know that we spent all this time thinking about the microbial biomass in the soil and the degree to which that links to carbon sequestration, or the minutiae of how we design spaces to accommodate the California kingsnake. You know, we're creating a project nursery for this, where we are going to be growing all the plants that are going to be a part of this construction.
Another big part of the design is it has to be inviting to animals. That's the whole point, right? They need to get these animals to use it. So here are a few things that they're doing. They're putting massive sound barriers on the crossing itself and along the highway to dampen the noise of traffic. The height and thickness of the bridge has also been considered to avoid the noise of the cars below. They've also thought about the light, so they're looking into lowering street lights on the nearby off-ramps without affecting safety. The color palette has been taken from the Santa Monica Mountains, as I mentioned before, and this will help darken the structure at night so they don't have this reflective glow that you sometimes see on concrete bridges. They want it to work for all animals, from a quail to a snake to the mountain lions.
That is so cool. And it's great that work begins on this project today, Earth Day. Okay, so how long will it take to complete?
Okay, with all big projects, there's always an approximate date, but Beth Pratt told me that she hopes it will open for business by late 2024, early 2025. And they all have bets in place on what they think will be the first animal to use it. Pratt thinks maybe a lizard? I don't know if you want to hazard a guess, Ira, but I think maybe a bird or perhaps a very brave coyote.
I'll go with the coyote. I think I'm with the coyote on this one. So this is going to be the first of its kind in terms of how big this crossing is. But could we expect to see more of these in California or perhaps even across other parts of the country?
This is a big hope for everyone involved in the project. Yes, animal crossings in different forms exist all over the world. We've seen ones for crabs going over roads. We've seen ones for bears going under roads. But one this big and intricate going over such a busy highway is a first. And those involved don't want it to be cutting edge for long.
Michelle, that's a really interesting Earth Day story. Thank you for bringing it to us.
Thank you, Ira.
Michelle Loxton is podcast host and producer for KCLU Public Radio in Thousand Oaks, California. She reported this story for KCLU's podcast, The 101. And now, here's Sci-Fi Trivia host Diana Montano with some Earth Day meditations.
Thanks, Ira. Here's a few amazing facts about the Earth to help you wander around our planet in awe today. Sharks have been on this world longer than trees. In 2020, over 20% of energy produced in the U.S. came from renewable energy sources, including wind, solar, and hydroelectric power. Conservation efforts have helped move the snow leopard on the International Union for Conservation of Nature's list from endangered to vulnerable. In Death Valley National Park, when the balance of water, ice, and wind are just right, stones can sail across the ground, and they leave a trail in the sandy soil as evidence of their journey behind.
Wow, who knew? Thanks, Diana.